Welcome to the Victory Orlando podcast. We exist to reach people with the life-giving message of Jesus and to connect them with their purpose. To learn more about us, visit us at victoryorlando.com. Thanks for listening. We pray that you are encouraged and inspired by today's message.
Well, when we were together 2 weeks ago, we talked about hearing the voice of God, like how to hear God's voice more clearly. And I wanted to continue this and kind of take the next step of that and talk about how we can build our lives on God's word. Because we can build our lives on just about anything, but not everything in this world is going to last. Scripture says only one thing will remain. That's his word. So we can build our lives on our own plans, our own ideas. And we see people and, you know, in Hollywood, and they build their own lives and do their own things. Then it's plain what the result is. Like the devastation and just the terrible lives. We just see it so many places. We've seen it. I've seen it in my family and in people I know just trying to do their own thing. Like people, we can build our lives on anything. But if we want to live the life that God has created for us, if we want to live an abundant, successful life, we have to build our lives on God's word. And so I want to talk this morning and give you some things about why that's important and then some hows. Like, I like the hows because I'm a practical, like, I'm a hands-on, like, how do I do this? So I want to give you a couple of hows on how we build our lives on God's word. But I have some fun facts, some did-you-knows about the Bible that you might not know. Some you might know. Some of you Bible scholars out there probably already know this. But the Bible was written over a period of about 1,600 years. It's a long time. In about a dozen countries and three continents. It's a lot. There's about 40 authors who wrote the Bible, but really there's only one author because Scripture tells us that all Scripture is inspired and breathed by God. So God spoke to men, gave them revelation, and they wrote down God's word, right? It wasn't man that made it up. It was God's word. There's 66 books in the Bible. There's 1,189 chapters. 929 are Old Testament, 260 in the New Testament. And the amazing thing with all this diversity in the Bible written in all these places over all these years, like there's one theme all the way through. The Bible never contradicts itself. In fact, it always proves itself to be true. That theme throughout the whole Scripture is Jesus. It's awesome. And so as we talk this morning about building our lives on God's word, I want to look at this Scripture from John chapter 1. And verse 1, because it's so foundational for this idea of what the word of God is and what place it has in our lives. Because the truth is we are a three-part being. You are a spirit. You have a soul and you live in a body. Like your body is not who you are. Your spirit is who you are. Scripture says that to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. Like our spirit continues on once our body does not. We are a spirit. We have a soul. We live in a body. And so it's so important that we understand that as we begin to know, like, our spiritual life has to grow. Like, it's so important that our spiritual life grows because that's the part of us that's going to continue on into eternity. And if our spiritual life is not growing, if we're disconnected and far from God, like, Scripture makes it plain, like, there's one or two places we're going to end up. We're going to end up in heaven with the Lord, or we're going to end up in hell with the devil and all of his friends. And man, I don't want you to end up there. I want you to end up in heaven where we'll be praising and rejoicing the Lord for all of eternity. But I want to stir up your spirit and help you. Like, we need to be taking steps each day, just taking a step, like not making jumps and leaps and trying to get to the finish line, like just each day taking a step in our growth with the Lord. Like, man, that's my biggest prayer for those of you who are following Christ is like just each day, like taking another step in your growth with the Lord. Like, that's the most important thing. And this can be the greatest year of your life if it's the greatest year of your life spiritually. Amen. That's good. I'm going to say it over here. I got one amen over here. This can be the greatest year of your life if it's the greatest year of your life spiritually. Amen. Like the spiritual has to grow. And when we focus on the spiritual growth, it's amazing. You'll watch all the other things in your life begin to change and become affected by that growth. Let's look at the word. John chapter 1, verse 1. It says, "In the beginning was the word. And the word was with God, and the word was God." Man, it's so interesting how God calls himself the word. Because before there was actually the printed page, like, he was. Like he was the Word. He existed. Like the Word is God. Like if you want to get to know God, like get to know the Word. You want to know some more about Jesus, like get to know the Word. Like, man, that's a great way to get to know the Word. And I know a lot of people like struggle with knowing the Word and like reading it. Like, this is hard to understand. And, like, there's all these points where I get bogged down. Like, I don't know about you, but there's four chapters of Begats. Right? That can get you bogged down. And I don't remember seeing any Instagram posts about, and Jacob begat. Like, you don't see that on Instagram because you get bogged down. But the good news is that God knew, like, that we would need an example, that we would need help. And we skip down to verse 14. It says this. It says, the Word became flesh and made his dwelling among us. This is Jesus. Jesus became flesh. The Word became flesh and he dwelt among us. And he came not only to rescue us from sin so that we could become part of God's family, but he also came to show us what the Word could do in our lives. And it's so important that we realize this and that we learn to love God's Word. And so I hope today, like, if nothing else, you leave with this sense of, like, the Word of God, like the love for the Word of God beginning to burn inside of your heart. In John chapter 6 and verse 63, Jesus made a claim of what the Word could do in our lives. And it's an interesting statement. And it says this, it says, the very words I've spoken to you are spirit and life. And like, okay, like, that's interesting. What does that mean for my life? Well, when you look at what this word spirit means, like a lot of the New Testament was written in Greek, and John specifically was written in Greek. And this word spirit here in this sentence is this word pneuma. And when they begin to translate this to English, and, you know, the Bible is translated and passed down, as they begin to translate this word pneuma, there wasn't a real good English word for this word pneuma to really define what it meant. And so they use this word spirit. Some definitions use the word breath. But what it really means when you trace it back is it's a breath in motion, a breath that has force or emphasis. Like that's this word here. So he's saying these very words I have spoken to you have emphasis, have breath, have power behind them in their life. Like, when God speaks, he doesn't speak idle words. He doesn't just say things just for the fun of it. Like, God's Word has power behind it, has force. When he speaks, his very breath has motion and movement behind it. That's why in Hebrews chapter 4, it says the Word of God is alive and living. It's active and powerful. The Word of God is alive and powerful. It's not a normal book. It's not just something that sits on the shelf and we pull out. It's not just historical records. It contains those historical records, but it's so much more. It's not just some assemblance of people's ideas on spirituality and how to be better and live a good life. And that's not what it is at all. The Word of God, the Bible, is God's very spoken word. It's alive and powerful, and it has power in your life to change things. Scripture goes on, it says, it is sharper than a double-edged sword. It penetrates to the dividing of soul and spirit, joints and marrow. It judges the attitudes and thoughts of our heart. Man, the Word can work in your life. Like, the Word is alive, but we have to then get to this point where the Word is coming alive to us. Because, I mean, you can read it and just read it for information. You can do that. But man, there's something about it when you're reading it and that information then has power behind it to do the information. Like, we need the information side of it, but we also need the Spirit to make it come alive in us so that we have his Word, his emphasis behind it, so that it makes the difference in us. And then we can go out in his strength and his power and do all that he's called us to do. The Word of God is alive and powerful. So the challenge is how do we make this happen in our lives, right? Right? How do we make it come alive to us? So I have a couple of things I want to give you that kind of explain this process a little bit, and then I'll give you some hows. The first thing is that faith activates the Word in your life. Faith activates the Word in your life. And faith is really this point of believing things that you don't have to see or explain. Hebrews defines faith as the evidence of things hoped for, the things not seen. Right? So that means when I don't see things working out, like, then I need my faith. Because if I can just see and make everything work out on my own, I don't need faith. I don't need God because I'm making it happen. But that's, see, faith is the other side of that. When I don't have it, when I need to trust in God, when I can't see the answer, my faith says I still believe what God says. That's faith. And faith activates the word of God in our life. We need faith in our lives. In Hebrews chapter 4, we're staying in this chapter 4, we just read in verse 12 how it says the word of God is alive and powerful. Now that if we back up to verse 2, so right before Paul wrote this, he said, "For indeed the gospel was preached to us as well as to them." So here he's saying the gospel is being preached. People are hearing the word of God. He says, "But the word that they heard, it didn't profit them. It didn't do them any good because they didn't mix faith with it. They didn't combine the word that they heard with the faith that they had. So it didn't do them any good." Like, you can hear, you can come every Sunday, you can listen to every podcast and all these things. You can, excuse me, you can do the audio Bible and all that. But if you're not mixing what you're hearing with faith inside of you, like, it's not going to do you any good. We need to mix faith with what we're doing. The good news is there's something that can activate faith in our lives. Isn't that good to know? That there's something that activates faith in our lives. And that's revelation activates faith. Revelation activates faith. And you're like, "Well, I read the book of Revelation and there's a lot of stuff in there. And then I was a little freaked out." Anybody else? That's not the revelation I'm talking about, but that's a good book to read. Just not before bed sometimes. Revelation in this case means that moment of like, "I got it," right? Like that aha moment, right? Anybody else had one of those ever? Well, I've had a few of those, but for me, it didn't happen once I moved out of Algebra 1 into Algebra 2. I never had the Algebra 2 aha moment where I was like, "Oh, that makes sense." Right? Anybody else? No. So then they decided I was good to move on to trigonometry, and I still never found that aha moment in there. But praise the Lord, I graduated. Don't worry. I made it. But revelation activates faith in our lives. And it's like when you've read a verse 100 times or 1,000 times, and then all of a sudden you're like, "Why did I never see this before?" Right? That's the Holy Spirit bringing revelation of His word in your life. And when that happens, it begins to activate this faith inside of you to believe what God said. This happened in a very famous story in our Bible to Mary. We all know Mary from the Christmas story, and in just a few months we'll have that. It's my favorite time of year, Thanksgiving and Christmas. We'll have plenty of more stories about Mary and Joseph and the donkey, but I want to look at this story today in a little different light because Mary kind of experienced this a bit herself. She's this teenage girl, you know, young girl, and the angel comes to her and is like, "Hey, Mary, guess what? You're going to get pregnant and you're going to have a baby and it's going to be God." It's no wonder she didn't make a post to Facebook about it, you know, like hashtag gonna have a baby, hashtag still a virgin, hashtag don't understand what's happening, hashtag it's gonna be God. I can't imagine the questions that she had in this moment, but Mary had some questions, and I'm sure that at some point in your reading of the scriptures, you've had some questions. And here is what scripture said. Mary said to the angel, "How can this be?" Like, she heard what the angel told her, but she didn't understand. "How can this be since I'm still a virgin?" The angel answered her and said, "The Holy Spirit will come upon you and the power of the Most High will overshadow you." See, the angel is speaking this method of faith to her. He's trying to give her revelation, trying to give her understanding of what's about to happen. The Holy Spirit's going to come on you. And this child, the one that's born of you, will be called the Son of God. He's given a revelation. And all of a sudden in this moment, she understood. She had this understanding. And from there, the angel said, "No word of the Lord will ever fail. Mary said, "I am the Lord's servant. Let your word be done to me as it's spoken." And the angel left. That's good and nice. But I think it's interesting, this word right here where the angel said, "For no word from God will ever fail." And this word right here, this word, it's this word, this Greek word. And the Greeks had two words for the word. That's a tongue twister. Try to say it on your way home. There's two words for the word. And the one word is the word logos, or the written word, things that are written down. But this other word is rhema word. And that's a revelation. It also says it also means it's a word that brings application, or a word that brings understanding. And that's the word right here, this word rhema. "For no rhema word from God will ever fail." So when you have this understanding, this revelation of God's working in your life, like no word of God will ever fail. God's word never fails. And I'll say the same thing to you this morning, that God's word in your life will never fail. When you get to this point where God has given you revelation, those promises in the book, they will never fail in your life. God's word never fails. So how do we get more revelation in our life? If this sounds great, like, great, I need more of that. How do I do that? Meditation activates revelation. And let me say something about meditation, because meditation has kind of gotten a bad rap in our world and our culture. And people use meditation as like this trance, you know, like I'm going to go to this better state of mind. And like, y'all, like, that's not what meditation is. And the devil just likes to take things that God made. We know from Genesis chapter 1, God created everything and he said it is good. So there's not things out there that devil is creating in the world. Like the devil takes things that God made and he twists them and he makes them distorted and evil, and he deceives people with these twisted things that he's done, right? And that's what he's done with meditation. He's deceived people's minds and twisted what God created to help us, and he's twisted it and made it this other thing. But those other things is not what meditation is. Meditation is speaking God's word. It's thinking about it. It's saying it to yourself. It's all throughout the day. Like I'm going to think about it. I'm going to ask God, what does this mean? And I'm talking about it. I'm sharing it with my wife. I was reading this and like meditation is, I have it with me all day. I'm thinking about it. I'm chewing on it. And it's not just on my days on Sundays, but I need to do this on days that don't end in Sunday, right? Because there's six of those days that don't end with Sunday. And here in Joshua chapter 1, verse 8, it says, this book of the law shall not depart from your mouth, but you will meditate on it day and night so that you can be careful to do all that's written in it. Like meditate on it, repeat it, speak it out loud, think about it, write it down, circle words, highlight it in your Bible, highlight it on your Bible app, meditate on the word. I think of cows when I think of meditation. You're like, you've got some weird analogies. Follow me on this one, right? Follow me on this one. Cows, they do this thing when they eat, they grab some grass and they start eating it, right? And they get nutrients out and then they swallow it, right? And then a few minutes later, or however much later, I already hear it coming. Right, they bring it back up. I know. And then they start chewing on it again. And they start getting some more nutrients out of it again. They're like, oh, that was a good second round. It's going back down. Swallow it again. It's back down, right? Then they're going along with their little cow self, avoiding the Hamburglar. And they're like, hey, I'm a little hungry. So what do? They bring it back up again. And they start chewing on that thing again and getting more things out of it. Like, that's what the process of meditation looks like. So when I get up in the morning and I'm reading the word and God speaks to me the scripture, whether I understand it or not, like all throughout my day, I'm like, all right, God, I'm going to meditate on your word day and night so that it won't depart from me. Okay. I'm going to meditate and I'm talking about it and I'm going to be like, Heather, I read this morning and I'm going to, you know, like meditation, like all throughout the day, I'm bringing it back up. I'm thinking about it. And here's what happens when we do that. The next part of the scripture says, then you will make your way prosperous and you will have good success. So like, I love to read a scripture backwards sometimes when God has given me this revelation moment. Like, I will read the scripture backwards because it kind of helps my mind understand. So if you want to have good success and you want to make your way prosperous, be careful to observe everything that's written in the word and meditate on it day and night. Don't let it leave your mouth. Man, like, we've got to meditate on God's word. And Jesus talked about this idea of building our lives on the rock, on the word of God. And I think it's so appropriate for us. We've just been through this hurricane and this storm, and we've seen the results of the devastation. But Jesus said this in Matthew chapter 7 and verse 24. This is from the Message translation. And the Message is a great version of the Bible. It's not a translation per se, but more of a paraphrase of a translation. So they took the scripture and they said, let's kind of make this in a little modern language. So it's the Message paraphrase version. And it says this. It says, these words I speak to you, they're not incidental additions to your life. They're not just like random things just to like add it on. They're not homeowner improvements for your standard of living. So like he's saying, like, it's not just so your life can be better. There's purpose behind it. They are foundational words, words to build your life on. If you work these words into your life, you are like a smart carpenter who builds his house on a rock. Because when the rain come and poured down and the floods, the river flooded and a tornado or a hurricane hit it, nothing moved that house. It was fixed to the rock. It was built on the right stuff. See, storms are coming in life. We can't help it. We can't, you know, like, I mean, even as a pastor, I can't make the storm go away in your life. But what I can do is I can point you to something and help and give you something that when the storm comes, that you can hold on to. So your life doesn't have to be a mess when a storm comes. You don't have to fall apart when you face difficult situations. Like, our lives are built upon the Word of God. We're built upon the rock so that we can stand strong in storms. Because there's other people who aren't, and they need to know how to do it too. They need what you've got. But if when a storm comes, you fall apart, how are you going to give somebody else what you got? Because what you got didn't help you. Like, our lives have to be built on God's Word. So, how do we build our lives on God's Word? I've got a couple things I want to give you. If you're taking notes on the back of your worship guide, there's some spots you can take some notes. Or if you've got your phone, pull it out and you'll have the nice little glow on your face. I'm going to assume you're taking notes if I see the glow, because it'll make me feel better. I like it right there. It's all right to talk back a little bit to when. Number one, if you're taking notes, write this down, is we build our lives on God's Word by accepting its authority. We have to accept God's Word as authority in our life. And this is really attitude. Like, the attitude is, how are you going to view God's Word? Because some people just view it as a good book. Some people view it as the Ten Commandments in some, you know, courtroom somewhere that can easily be discarded or taken down when it's not convenient and put back in a box somewhere. Some people just view it as stories about a good man who lived and said some nice things. But how are you going to view it? Are you going to view it as those things? Or are you going to view it as the infallible, uncompromising Word of God that is truth in our life? Like, man, we have to accept the authority of the Word of God in your life. And I know in this idea, so many people say, well, there's some strange things in there I don't understand, or I don't always have understanding about that. And I'm like, it's okay if you don't understand God's Word. Like, if you don't understand everything from cover to cover, like, that's all right. Like, this is the journey of faith. But it's that journey of faith where we take a step and God gives us more revelation. And then the next time he gives us more revelation. We're learning about him through his Word, right? And it's, you know, like, I'm not a scientist, and so I don't understand a lot about digestion. I like to eat, though, and I still do it. I don't have to understand how all that works, but I can still eat. Same thing with God's Word. Like, you don't have to understand everything about it to open it up, to read it, to learn who God is, to learn how God operates, to learn what he wants to do in your life. Like, man, we need to get more of the Word in our lives. That's a good place to say amen right there. Because culture is going to come and culture is going to scream in your face and tell you that it's not true and that we can change it based on how we feel. The attack on the Word of God in our culture is more real, I think, and more in our face than it has been than I can remember. And it's not going to go away. Like, that's the plan of the enemy, to always come and attack the Word of God. Because remember, the devil is a liar. But we have to make that decision ahead of time that God's Word is authority in my life. If God says in here that I need to be doing something, I'm going to do it. Not because I think it's right or because, well, I don't understand why I need to do that. Well, that doesn't matter. God said it, I'm going to do it. Yes. Amen. Amen. Let's look at what Paul said here in 1 Thessalonians chapter 2. It says this. It says, and we thank God continually because when you received the word, which you heard from us, you didn't accept it as just human words, but you accepted it as it actually is, the Word of God, which is indeed at work in you who believe. So as soon as you accept God's word in your life, it's going to begin working. It's going to get in there and get all up in your business. Right? It's just going to, like, get everywhere. Like, that's what it, like, it's going to get in your thoughts. It's going to get in your heart. It's going to get in your words and your actions. It needs to get into your relationships. It needs to get into your television set. Yeah, it's going to get all up in your business and start messing with you. It's just going to be all up in that Kool-Aid, y'all. And that's good. That's what you want. You want God's word to permeate you because it needs to begin to work out those things that culture tries to tell us that we should be, that we need to hear what God says how we should be. Second thing, how we build our lives on God's word is we must assimilate its truths. That just means we just need to make it every part of our life. Don't leave it out of one part of your life. Don't say, God, you can come into my work and you can come into my commute to my work. But when I get home, it's me time. So I'm not going to let you in this time. God wants to be in every part. We need to like open the doors and say, God, whatever part of my life you need to say something, say it. Like just assimilate it into every part of our life. We do this by listening to God's word. Like we have to, got a little cough this morning. We've got to hear God's word. It's not enough just to sit there and read it and close it. Like we need to also hear God's word. You say, why do I need to hear God's word? Well, Romans chapter 10 says this. It says faith. Remember, we need faith to activate the word in our life. Faith comes through hearing and hearing the message, hearing the word of God. Like we need to hear God's word spoken in our life. Like we need to hear it. Like that's why scripture tells us don't forsake the gathering of yourselves. Like come together and hear what God is speaking to you. Like that's why we love connect groups, because we need to hear the word throughout the week. So when we meet throughout the week, we're still hearing the word of God. Man, I love that about technology and the day and age that we live in. Like the word of God is more accessible than it's ever been. And messages and preaching is more available. You can be driving down your car and be watching church streaming live on another continent. Are you kidding me? Like, man, listen to the word of God. Just get it in you and don't worry about listening to other stuff. Like, man, prioritize getting the word of God in your life. And when you do, like, man, it's going to begin to change you. That's why I'm always surprised at people who like don't make church a commitment. Like, don't schedule like God, like just schedule him. Like you schedule other things, like schedule God, like just make it a priority. Like I've just decided, like when the doors are open, I'm going to be here. And I know you're like, well, you have to be here. You're the pastor. Like, man, I made this decision long before I was a pastor and I was there when the church was open. And I just wanted to be in the place where God's word was being spoken. Like, it's not about legalism. It's not about trying to, like, make people feel bad. It's just, like, get yourself in the place where God's word is being spoken and schedule it. Make it a priority. And those other things will take care of themselves. Amen. Come on, y'all. We do this also by reading God's word. We need God's word in our lives. And there's a couple ways of reading God's word that I want to give you some ideas, some things to ponder about is when you read God's word, like, get a paper Bible. Get a paper Bible. Get you one of these. Like, there is the Bible, and this is my Bible. Has my name on it right there. Nice. I read this Bible every day. Like, this is my Bible. Like, I've got notebooks and things, and I've got papers and bookmarks and all kinds of stuff. But this is my Bible. There's something about reading the actual pages. There's studies that have been done that have shown that retention goes up when you read from an actual page versus digital reading. Now, I'm not knocking digital reading. I also read on my YouVersion Bible app. It's great. But there's something about reading from this. Like, get you a paper book and read it. There's been studies that show that there's something that happens in the ability of us to retain information when we feel how far we've read and how far we have left to go. Like, retention goes up in the digital reading. I mean, in the paper reading. Digital reading is good as well. Like, I use the Bible reading plan on there. Like, have a plan to read the Bible. Don't just, like, open it up and hope, like, I hope this is a good one today. Like, have a plan. Make a plan. Get you a Bible reading plan. And when I do those Bible reading plans, a lot of times I'll get on the YouVersion Bible app because there's so many. And then I'll see what the day's reading is. And then a lot of times I'll still go back to my paper Bible. When I read a chapter of Psalms, Proverbs every day because I need more wisdom in my life. So today is the 17th, so I'm going to read Proverbs 17. Yes. Yes. And then by the end of the month, I've read the whole book of Proverbs. Do the same thing with Psalms. And with all those chapters, just divide it by 30 days. And then you have 3 to 5 chapters to read a day, whatever the math is. Remember, I didn't, the algebra. Whatever that math is, you have, 10 or 15 minutes of Psalms to read a day. Like, have a plan to read the Bible, right? Because then if you open it up and you're like, oh, I'm on the Begats. Like, that's what's great about the one-year Bible, because you get a little Old Testament, you get a little New Testament, you get a Psalms and a Proverbs, and praise God for the Psalms on the Begat days. right? You're like, woo, man, right? Like, have a plan to read the Bible. Don't just go it alone. Like, have a plan and set aside some time. Man, set aside some time, whether that's 15 minutes, whether that's 30 minutes, an hour, whatever that is, just schedule the time, prioritize the time. Say, God, your word is a priority in my life. So it's so important to me that every day I'm going to schedule it at, you know, 6:30. I'm going to schedule it every day at 8 a.m. Whatever that time is, if you read it before you go to bed, man, just set a time and make God's word a priority in your life. And you'll be amazed when you make something that's a priority to God, a priority to you, what he does with all those things that were important to you. Man, man, we just get our priorities out of order sometimes. Like, that's, get your priorities in line with God's priorities. Make it a priority in your life. And then when you're reading it, like, don't just read it. Like, let God's word read you. There's a scripture that compares the Bible to a mirror. It's like when you're reading it, like, we're to look in there and to see who God made us to be. Like, when you read it, like, let it read you. Like, it, God's word is given to us for instruction and correction and for encouragement. Like, let it work in you. Let it work in you. Like, receive it into your life. God's word is alive and powerful. The third thing that we do to build our lives in God's word is this. And man, you guys can start coming up back up here, is that we must apply its principles. We have to apply the principles. That just means, like, in everyday life, like, we need it in our everyday life. We need God's word. In James chapter 1, verse 22, it says this. It says, don't merely just listen to the word and deceive yourselves. Like, don't just listen to it, but do what it says. Like, if all you're doing is listening, like, you're tricking yourself into thinking, like, it's better than it is. Like, do what it says. Like, make it part of everyday life. Take it with you. Take it with you. Make it part of your life. For me, what I do to help me in that making it part of my everyday life is when I'm facing something, or even on good days, or I've got situations, like, I'm going to find a verse and I'm going to make it. I'm going to say that verse. I'm going to find a verse for me in the Bible that applies to my situation. I'm just going to say it all day long. I've been times where I've had to say it like 100 times to myself until I get rid of those thoughts, because the enemy comes and he brings thoughts in our mind. Right? And he tries to overwhelm us. He tries to rush in like a flood. But scripture says when that happens, the Spirit of the Lord will raise up a standard against that. That's the word of God that's going to well out of you. So, like, man, if you got to be on Google and like, I need a scripture about whatever it is, a scripture struggling with depression scriptures. Man, use Google. Use the tools we have and find a scripture for whatever it is you're facing on good days. Find a scripture for that day and just praise him for his goodness. God, you made the sun to rise this morning, so I praise you. And just tell him all day. And you'll be amazed at how much better your day got just because you took the day to tell him that, that he's faithful. Come on. I remember a time in my life before Heather and I had our first daughter, Bella. She's serving in Victory Kids today. And before we found out we were pregnant, Heather was at the doctor and they were trying to tell us that she had this cancerous tumor. And so we were young and we didn't really know what to do and begin to pray. And we went to another doctor and this other doctor said, no, this is a baby. But Heather and I were still dealing with that. I mean, I really was dealing with this fear, man, of like, what's going to happen? And I had a friend that told me, he's like, man, what scripture are you standing on? And that sounds real Christian to say, but it's the truth. Like, what promise of God, what word that has emphasis and power behind it to make it come to work in your life are you standing on?
Yeah, that's true.
And for me, that was, you know, your children will live and not die to declare the works of the Lord. And I mean, I just began to say it and I just began to pray it and I began to, you know, moments cry it, because sometimes you just have to be in that moment with God and just let the revelation of his word, that meditation begins to bring revelation, understanding of his word. And then your faith begins to get activated. And now, like, man, I see my daughter and she's, man, she's awesome. And she's going to change the world. And the same thing for your children. But you have to begin to speak it over them. If you have children, like, man, when they go to bed at night, you pray that over them. You will live and not die. You will declare the works of the Lord. Like, even if you don't see it, and if you have grown children and they're far from God, man, speak that over their life. Like, we've got to get a hold of the truth and the power of God's word in our life. It's alive and powerful. And so that's my prayer for you this morning. And I want to pray for you this morning, because I know so many times in this thought of like beginning to get more of God's word in our life, the enemy comes in, right? Because anytime the word is sown, scripture tells us the enemy comes in and he tries to steal it. He tries to choke it out. And I felt like as I was preparing this, that God spoke and he said that some like are choked by this feeling of guilt, of not understanding or not, I haven't made this a priority. And I want to pray for you this morning, because that's not of God. Lord, I thank you right now that you're moving in this place.